Rory McIlroy, he continues, of course, to go to from strength to strength on the golf course. No sooner had he lifted his fourth major trophy than politicians were rushing to congratulate him. Rightly so, of course. But will Rory's success really give the boost to Northern Ireland tourism that has been predicted? The Enterprise Minister, Arlene Foster, said in a statement, this will give golfers of all abilities even more reason to travel to Northern Ireland to find out for themselves what makes our golf courses the home of major champions. Well, is she right? I've been speaking to the travel writer, Tim Hedgley, the commentator, Chris Donnelly, who isn't so convinced.
Well, Stephen, just wanted to say I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. I mean, I was up until 2 a.m. watching Rory win his latest major, and I was delighted as much as anybody else. But where I do take issue is, and we've seen this after the last number of golfing successes we've had here, where politicians say this is going to bring a boost to our tourist industry. And I don't really, I mean, I think if we stop and think logically on that, I don't think it necessarily follows. I mean, I was tweeting about this the other day. Kenya would be the home of long-distance running. Jamaica, Usain Bolt comes from there for sprinting. Roger Federer would, you know, the numerous successes he's had on the tennis court. How many people on the back of those sporting triumphs planned their holidays to go to those destinations? It would suggest very few. So I think it certainly is a case that golf, there is a tourist industry associated with golf. And I'm not doubting that for a second. But I don't see a necessary correlation between the sporting success of one person from this part of Ireland and tourism. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we have had, Ireland has had pretty good golf tourism for 40, 50 years.
Yeah, the politician,
but Fred Daly didn't win it. Fred Daly was our last winner before Patrick Harrington in 2007.
It's a fair point, Tim Hedgley, isn't it? You know, if you look at all these politicians swamping into this, there's the SCLP Assembly member, Karen McKevitt. As Rory reinforces his return to the world number one spot, I have no doubt, says Karen, that his dominance of the sport will see golfers flock to courses across the north. So because Rory McIlroy is from Northern Ireland, why would that make people want to come? It's like saying when Dennis Taylor won the World Snooker Championship in 1985 that people would flock to Coal Island, for goodness sake. To do what?
Well, not necessarily. There's a much, much bigger following for golf.
Yeah, but why would they come here just because Rory's from here?
Because golfers want to play the courses that the best golfers in the world trained on. For example, Rory
do they?
Yes, they do. Rory built a course at his home at Red Hills in Hollywood, and he replicated all the major holes that would enable him to win the championships that he's now winning. That has just been opened to the public, and people will, without doubt, flock to that place to play where Rory practiced. We look at the European Tour. It's, you know, confirmed in 2015 and 2017. The Royal County Down Golf Club and Lochearn Golf Resort. We're going to have European tours there. Without the success that the three guys from this country, and they are exceptional golf players. When you imagine the size of Northern Ireland with 1.5 million people to have produced three outstanding golfers, the world's sort of golfing fraternity will, without doubt, and it's already been proven that they are coming here.
Chris?
And they're coming here in larger numbers than ever. For example, the spend of golfers. Golf tourism currently generates up to £22.4 million each year for the local economy.
I guess, Chris Donnelly, the hard numbers put you in your box.
No, I don't think so. I've actually done a bit of reading on this in terms of, I mean, for instance, if you look at the figures, golf tourism in Scotland would generate more money than in the whole of Ireland, never mind the north of Ireland. And yet, you know, the last time a golfer from Scotland won one of the majors was Paul Lowry in 1999. And before that was Sandy Lyle in the mid-80s. So the point I'm making is, yes, I agree, there is a place for golf tourism, and I want people to come here. But my criticism is, you know, there seems like a lazy political consensus just to say Rory wins a tournament, the tourists are going to come. I would suggest that there needs to be a hell of a lot more planning into how do we maximise whatever publicity, positive publicity, can flow from having sporting figures, iconic sporting figures associated with this part of the world, and generating that into greater tourism. And I would give you an example, Stephen. I mean, I did talk about the fact that some sports earlier on, some sporting figures like Usain Bolt and the likes, it doesn't seem to logically follow that we would go to Jamaica. But, you know, in a fortnight's time, I will be going down to Dublin for a college football, an American college football game that's bringing 20,000 Americans over. Now, there is nobody in Ireland who knows the players involved in this, but somebody within Dublin had the sense to say, let's sweet talk a couple of American universities to come over here, because those 20,000 Americans who come over, they're not flying over for the day. They've made their entire summer holiday in Ireland.
You agree, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. The Americans come across here to play golf. They spend an average of £2,543 per trip, £385 a day, and they will be coming. Golfing holidays are massive, absolutely massive throughout the world, and the golfers will follow where the champions come from, and that's just fact.
I just think we have to be more proactive. There's an element of that to me that says, you know, there's a sense of entitlement there, and it's an easy thing to say, oh, Rory wins, it's going to be great for tourism. I want to see our political leaders, and then business leaders, obviously, too, thinking more strategically about how can you utilise the potential of this, because, as we started out the conversation by saying, it doesn't necessarily follow that just because you're born somewhere, people are going to go there because you've had sporting success.
Interesting stuff. Chris, thank you very much indeed. Tim, thank you. Nice to talk to you. Right, well, the Northern Ireland Board Chairman, Howard Hastings, is sitting in the studio with me. Too much negativity there, Howard? Because, okay, look, Rory is a superstar. There is no one that's going to dispute that. But how real is this tourism potential through him?
I think it's enormous, and this isn't just a good news story. This is a great news story, and Rory's only part of that story. We have the golfers, not just Rory, but also Graham, Darren, Porrig, bats very hard for the island of Ireland golf as well. Younger talent coming through like Michael Hoey and Alan Dunbar, great players all. Then we've got the courses, the Lynx golf courses that the high spenders want to play. A third of the Lynx golf courses in the world are here in the island of Ireland. We have a unique treasure in that, something, a magnet to draw people from overseas, and world rated courses, Royal Port Rush, Royal County Down, the list everybody is familiar
with. But how much is this potentially worth?
Well, at the minute, it's worth £22.5 million a year to our economy, but that is set to grow. But the point about the golfers, the courses and the events is the positive PR. Who can measure the positive PR that Rory generates for Northern Ireland?
And this is the bit that I want to question, because the positive PR surely is about him. And rightly so. It's about him being a superstar. But when I hear all of this stuff about, oh, people will now flock to Northern Ireland. Well, why will they flock to Northern Ireland?
I think they're keen to find out what is it that, about our natural landscape, our unspoiled...
No, they're not, hard.
Well, if they're
keen to find out what kind of talent has Rory McIlroy got. My goodness, that guy's a natural-born talent. Not what type of house did he live in or where did he play?
Well, if you were right, why would there be Americans and Canadians day and daily trooping up to Hollywood Golf Club, a club where naturally foreigners, overseas players wouldn't play a parkland course, but they want to go and see where did Rory grow up? Where did he learn his trade? Then they want to go and play places like Royal Port Rush, where he holds the course record. What was it that he did? How did he hone his craft?
Really?
What made him...
Well, in big numbers.
Why is it so expensive to get onto those courses is because they're in huge demand. Some of the courses are £170, £180 around because there's not enough tee-off times for the number of people who want to play them. So, yes, in huge demand. What they're doing is they're moving the tee-off times in the height of the summer to earlier and earlier in order to can accommodate more visitors. And that's great for our economy.
And do you think we've got the infrastructure right? We've got the support network right around, if this is as big as you're saying it could be. Where are the celebrations for Rory throughout Northern Ireland that we could increase the PR for even more? Where's the organisation behind that?
Well, I think we are celebrating in PR terms around the world.
But there's nothing's been organised by government or by you guys, has it, to say, right, look, you know, this could even maximise the PR?
Well, I think he has to be in the jurisdiction. He pops in and out. He was the day after he won the Open, he was up to see the First and Deputy First Minister, as he was when he had won previous tournaments. I think we love to celebrate. Obviously, his schedule is particularly precious to him, and he's not about to weigh in for a civic reception in City Hall because that's not what his schedule would permit to do. Look, but we have so many other ways of celebrating what has been achieved, and that's what we're keen to do.
Well, look what happens, for example, when you've got a big football club that wins a major tournament. They come back, they're bussed throughout the city, there are crowds lining the streets. Now, I see that. I see the type of potential that happens there. That hasn't actually been organised for Rory, has it?
I don't really see why you're... That would be, if that's what he wanted. But what we're doing is we're trying to get the economic benefit out of this golf, the positive PR, the magazine articles he writes, the imagery of him being back in Northern Ireland. That is what is selling Northern Ireland. And so on the back of that, what we're able to do, and I have to say the executive's been very good at putting the money up in order to bring the Irish Open not only in 2012, but in 2015 and 2017. And now they've committed to say that they're prepared to back the Open coming to Royal Portrush. And I hope that comes about.
Is it in the bag yet?
There's meetings to be held with the club to clear the things that have to happen. So that's hopefully going to come through at the end of this month. And then we're all systems go for the RNA, hopefully to say, here's the year that we would like to bring it. And that would be tremendous, the eyes of the world. I suppose your commentator before was talking a little bit about Usain Bolt, but one running track's the same as another running track, essentially. What we're doing is we're showcasing bits of Northern Ireland and the unspoilt natural landscape. What Rory has done over the last month, we weren't just watching like Usain Bolt for 10 seconds. We were watching Rory. He had us hooked for 5 hours a day, for 4 days, for 3 weeks in a row. The cumulative effect of all that positive publicity, all the commentary by the commentators and in between shots, and they're talking about every little detail of his life, of his upbringing, where that was and why that's good, is because I suppose Rory as an ambassador speaks a little bit to where we are as society moving confidently on. Rory is a child born since the ceasefires. He knew no different. So much of what you'd are able to talk about day in, day out, looks back to way before that. I think Rory speaks to a future narrative for Northern Ireland.
Tom Cotter has contacted us. Morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead. You like to speak to Howard. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. In fact, good morning, Howard. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
If anything, I think, Stephen, Howard's probably playing down the potential here ever so slightly. Myself and Dr. Peter Boland in the University of Ulster have just completed some research, which your listeners will find in this month's Golf Digest. And it was looking at the global impact of the game of golf here in on the island of Ireland. And we looked at our Lynx course product. And if we look focused just purely on Northern Ireland, we discovered that it's slightly one-sided in one regard, because our visitors are looking at our unique selling point, which is our Lynx product here. And five out of the 98 GUI-registered clubs here, the Golfing Union of Ireland-registered clubs, are producing almost two-thirds of the tourism revenues that we are getting from golf in this part of the world. Excuse me. So there's massive potential. We spoke to 79 golf tour operators from around the world. They came back to tell us that 80% of the people that they're sending this direction are North American, but 20% of that figure is actually Canadian. And they are spending an overwhelming amount of money. I think the tourist board as well, their figures might be just a little bit behind ours that were completed just in the last 12 months. But we're looking at, on average, your visiting golfer coming in here for about 7 nights, playing maybe six or thereabout rounds of golf, spending probably in the region of £400 per day on their golf.
So they've got a couple of quid.
Pardon me?
They've got a couple of quid, obviously.
Yes, they have. But I think, you know, sometimes we underplay just the importance, as you were saying there, of Rory. I've spent 15 years on the road all around the world promoting the game of golf. And to have somebody of his stature out there on the global scene promoting Northern Ireland, albeit in an indirect way, as you suggested, the tourist board or any other tourist board in the world just simply couldn't afford to pay for that sort of profile.
So do you think they have built enough around him? Do you think there's enough organisation around what he's achieved to maximise the PR for Northern Ireland?
I think if I had any criticism, the feedback from the research from our clubs, our hoteliers, the people in the industry would be slightly critical of the tourist board, both North and South. It's just not Northern Ireland Tourist Board, but also Fáilte Ireland, is that we don't currently, anywhere on this island, have an effective golf strategy. One does not exist for golf tourism on the island.
Is that true, Howard?
There is work that's been done with the clubs. There is a nascent golf strategy. Tom was part of the development of that with the clubs. What we've been trying to do, working with the Golfing Union of Ireland and those clubs that want to participate, is say, what do we have to do to make ourselves more visitor-friendly, to make ourselves more open to green fees, to make more clubs want to attract tournaments and the like. There's always more could be done. There's a finite budget. Tom has been a great ambassador for what might be possible, and I don't think we'll ever do enough to satisfy that insatiable demand of the golf operators and those who earn their living from that. But I wouldn't say that the tourist board has been negligent in this respect at all.
We also can't put all our eggs in the one basket. Like, for some people, golf is a complete turn-off. Where did all the tourism go when we were promised from the G8, for example? Was there a major boost there?
Well, I think we've been down in Fermanagh this year, and actually we as the tourist board are down in Fermanagh this evening. They would say that their occupancy levels have been really good this summer.
So we got the impact we expected from the G8, didn't we?
Well, that showcased the whole Fermanagh Lakeland product, and then what we've been doing is having other events in order to draw people in. So we've just finished the Beckett Fest, and anyone down there will say how very successful that was at bringing nationalities in that they've never seen in Fermanagh before.
Here's Eugene this morning. Morning, Eugene.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Go ahead, Eugene.
Yeah, they go on there about the amount of people who come to Northern Ireland because you're Rory. Now, we have to look at it this way. The people who are coming are people with money. They're spending money in the golf clubs, right? They're only staying in the golf clubs, right? Now, you ask anybody from a council estate, oh, are you a member of a golf club in Northern Ireland? No, can't afford it. They're not interested in us. When, you know, at the end of the day,
it's an elite sport, isn't it?
It golf is an elite sport. And the problem is the council should be building golf clubs for the working class people. And by doing that, we could produce better even than what we have now.
Yeah.
But okay, at the moment, you know, I mean, I'm a member of a golf club in the UK. And it's the way they interview you, the way they talk to you, how you dress, who you associate with, what you drink. Oh, yes. You know, I'm sorry. You know, it's not, you expect people to come over here and play golf in Northern Ireland when they can't get in because they're working class. And if they do, they want £400 or £500 for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. You know, all this bull. If people are coming to Northern Ireland, they will come to see the beauty, to meet the people, to have a glass of Guinness.
Let me let Howard speak to you.
I think there's a product for everybody, so there is demand.
Well, there isn't a product for everybody.
Let's let him speak to you. Let's let him speak to you. Let's let him speak to you. You can't tell me he's wrong before you've listened to him. Let's let him speak to you.
So you could go to Mihi Island Golf Club today and be on for £13 for 18 holes. You could go to...
Don't come down there. That's next door to where I live.
You could go to Scrabble Golf Club, one of the most beautiful golf clubs in the world, for £15. You get your golf, you get your drink and a sandwich in the pro shop as well. You go to somewhere maybe on the coast like Bushfoot, more popular seaside resort this time of year, 18 sure holes Monday to Friday, £16. I don't think that is beyond the reach of the working man. I think golf's a very democratic sport. I really can't buy into that argument that's being made.
Eugene?
Well, I have to disagree with you there. Do you even advertise it?
Sorry, I think
we advertise these rates to the working class people. Well, and if the working class...
Have you got a website at home? Because if you've got a website, you get access to these things. If you're keen
right
to play
can
golf...
Can I just ask you 1 second, right? Okay, so you say...
It's also not Howard's job, right, to advertise these clubs, is it?
Is that for?
Sorry?
How many places, how many people would be able to play for that amount on that day?
Well, I think if you ring up those clubs I mentioned, and I have no connection with any of those clubs, there's plenty of availability and they'd love to see you.
I want to move on, if you don't mind. And Howard, I want to move on to what is there to actually do. Let's move on from golf. What is there to actually do in Northern Ireland? Because I've been banging on about this for quite a while, as you know. Do we not need to have a serious strategic look at maybe a fresh impetus as to what there is to do in Northern Ireland? You know, if someone wants to go to Portrush, what are they doing? Going to Barry's? And not that I'm criticising Barry's. So, you know, no major theme parks here. Are we not big enough for that? That kind of thing.
I think connecting to the Gulf, I think what we've seen is a regeneration starting in Portrush. Around the money that's being generated from the Gulf, we've seen developments in the East Strand, the West Strand. There's a really good restaurant culture growing in that area. So it doesn't happen overnight. But what I think...
We need bigger things in restaurants.
But I don't think we need theme parks, Stephen. I think what we're selling is authentic stories that are about Northern Ireland. And I think if you look, we have developed the number of things to see and do in Northern Ireland. And I think you really
Sell them to me. Authentic stories like what? I'm not talking about golf here. So I don't know. When I go to America, you've got the beautiful beach. I love America, right? I love Northern Ireland, but I love America. I love going off there on holiday. You've got the beautiful beaches. I can go to the Warner Studios. I can go up and I can look at lots of film sets and where lots of these TV shows are set. I can go up to and see some of the most iconic places in Los Angeles. You can go to all the outlet stores and get clothes really cheap. What is there to do in Northern Ireland?
What would you fancy doing? Somewhere like Macrofeld. Have you ever been on the Heaney tour?
Have
you been on the Heaney tour in Macrofeld? It's a award winning and something that Tourism Ireland are able to market very successfully overseas. That's just a small product. Maybe you want to go down to Castle Ward, not only to see the National Trust property, but also to see the Game of Thrones exhibition. Where do you want to go, Stephen? There are things to do.
You see, tourist attractions, from my perception at least, abroad, they're constantly reinventing themselves. They're constantly updating. They're trying to make the thrill bigger. They're trying to get bigger or better. Are we doing that in Northern Ireland? Coastal towns haven't really changed here much in 40 years, have they?
Well, if you look at what we have been doing over the last few years, it's all been around the development of the signature projects. What are the big reasons people are going to want to come here? And the four that we have delivered most successfully are Titanic Belfast, and we know, and the visitor numbers that are going there, 807,000 people in year one. What is there to do in Northern Ireland? That's what there is to do.
Okay, I get that. So there's a major attraction. I get that.
We know about the walled city of Derry, Londonderry, and we look at the festival of events that was around the UK City of Culture. People who had long turned their back on the city of Derry, Londonderry, have now said, oh, I didn't know there was so much to see and do there. I don't know if you've done the walled city walking tour there.
No, I have not. Well, until recently, I don't do walking. Maybe I should start.
There is so much to see and do, and you have to really push yourself as to not go to the same beach that you went to last week or last year or last month, but go and see what else. Obviously, we've got the Causeway Coastal Route and the rejuvenated Giant's Causeway Visitor Centre. So many other things starting to populate that route now. A big project coming on to retell the stories of Dunluce Castle is one of the things that's coming on stream. And that Causeway Coastal Route is a very popular driving route, taking people really from Belfast right the way to Derry, Londonderry, with lots of interpretation and things to stop and see and do on the way. And then, of course, the St Patrick's Heritage, the stuff we've done not only around Downpatrick and around Armagh, the driving route and showcasing the ecclesiastical heritage, and are probably, I'm not quite sure whether St Patrick or Rory McIlroy are our number one ambassador, but they're both right up there for different reasons.
Okay.
Those are the big things we put in the front of the shopping basket for people to come and see and do. And then when they get here, there are so many other...
Right, and so I get what you're saying there, all right? And quite a lot of that stuff is for adults. And I just look at this text here and it says... Well, we have teenagers here. What is there for them? Funderland come every year and that's about it, says this. Scottish theme parks advertise here. Hard says, let's go for a walk. Is there nothing more we can offer kids in Northern Ireland to excite them so that families can come to Northern Ireland?
So you got Belsonics on this week. There was other music festivals last week. The music festivals the week. The music scene is a huge scene. That's intensely popular to teenagers to go and discover some of that urban vibe that's going on as well. I think at all ages we have things for people to see and do.
tourism potential of any kind in Northern Ireland will never be fully realised here until we have one major airport. That doesn't really apply, does it?
I can't talk about how many airports we need, but we do need more direct air access. That would be a great advantage to us.
Tell me what you mean.
Well, one of the things that holds us back at the moment is that there is air passenger duty if people are leaving from here to go elsewhere. So it's a cost that people bear for flying out of Northern Ireland airports that they don't have to bear if they're flying out of Republic of Ireland airports. So if you're a family flying in from Europe, if you fly into Dublin as a family, it might save you £100, £150, £200 on your holiday compared to flying in to Northern Ireland. That persuades the...
That's about tax, is it?
That's an air pass. That's a national tax that relates to the United Kingdom, but does not apply. They've abolished that air passenger duty in the Republic of Ireland. And so what we see of all the new routes coming into the island of Ireland, the main growth in those new routes seems to be focused on the Republic of Ireland. And so therefore, the passengers that are landing on the island have to come that little bit further to come and see us.
And can we not get any special dispensation here? Can we not have Stormont fighting that?
Well, that's something that Stormont are fighting very hard.
They haven't got it yet, have they?
No, and it's something that is a deep irritation that the MLAs know about.
Would that make a big difference?
Well, I think what it would do at a stroke would be to encourage more airlines to route Northern Ireland on their programmes to divert some of those routes that were maybe going into other regions of the Republic of Ireland. They would come north in the winter of scheduled air services going from Europe into the island of Ireland. 97% of those air services are going into the Republic, 3% into Northern Ireland. This time last year in the winter, there was a growth in seat availability to the Republic of Ireland. There was a diminution in seat availability into Northern Ireland.
Just finally, do you holiday here or do you go abroad?
I was up in Ballycastle last week. I had a very enjoyable week indeed.
Oh, good. Listen, thank you very much. Maybe I need to educate myself more about Northern Ireland.
I'd be welcome the opportunity to tell you a bit more about it.
Everybody's nodding their head around here. Maybe I go elsewhere too much. Hard, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, sir.